The question was asked if we found a source that in the Cairo Gniza or in some kind of Gniza we found documentation of either a form of a ketubah or some other practice that we do not do, then wouldn't it be wise to learn from what we find there and to alter halacha in light of what we see in the Gniza? I'm purposely not going into the details of your question because I think the question begins before the specific case you gave. If you feel like we should go into this specific example, then we'll do that afterwards. The general approach to Gniza, we find discussion about this topic between the Chazon Ish, and I don't remember who was the one who kept asking him, about the letter Tzaddik. There's a question how we write the Tzaddik in a Sefer Torah. Do we write? Is the Yod facing to the left or is it facing to the right? And there are different, there's the Ketav Ari, there's the regular Ashkenazi Ketav, or what we call Ashkenazi and Sephardi Ketav, or what's sometimes called as Ketav Velish, which we have to discuss a different time. The word wall, velish, all it means is foreign. So whoever is discussing a foreign ksav calls it ksav velish, the foreign writing. It's not always the same thing they're discussing. Walnut was the nut that they didn't know. The word, the beginning of wall simply means foreign. This Rabbi Schneid taught me. So this Jew started bringing proofs from different things that were found in the Gniza, in the ancient shuls where they found buried under the shuls, they would find places that they put to rest, so to speak, manuscripts. And over there we find proof as to how the tzaddi should be written. So he writes the Chazon Ish one letter, and the Chazon Ish tells him, in halacha we deal with what all the poskim saw till today. Meaning, if there is some form of proof that the rabbis didn't have 200 years ago, and so when they gave halachic ruling 400 years ago, 500 years ago, 200 years ago, throughout our tradition, this was not seen by the rabbis. So then we do not take our tradition and say, you guys all didn't know what I know, so I'm going to change the halacha. No, we say halacha is going to continue with the sources that we had until now, and we don't take into account new sources. So the guy says, but why? Oh, right, I don't mean new as in freshly written, but rather something ancient that no one else knew about. So the guy asks, but why? He put together a whole book of these letters going back and forth, back and forth. It's called Tzidkat HaTzadik. That's what he called the book. Not Rav Tzadok's Tzidkat HaTzadik, but this person, I don't remember the rabbi's name. And he asks the Chazon Ish, but why? So one of the things the Chazon Ish tells him is, maybe the reason they buried it under the shul is because it has no validity. And the fact that someone wrote something doesn't give it validity. And even if you'll tell me that we know it was written by a valid rabbi, the Meiri. So generations, they didn't have the Meiri. On many Masechtot, they didn't have it. And then they found the Meiri's writings. So how much weight do we give it in halacha? The Chafetz Chaim seemed to have felt that we could use a lot of things that are quoted in the Meiri. But the Chazon Ish said, anything that the rabbis of centuries that passed did not see, even though it's valid, it's a valid opinion, it's a big Talmud Chacham, but he wasn't included in our halachic decisions, so today we're not going to go back and say, well, now that we know this and this, so we're going to start from scratch. We don't do that. Wow. We say, why not? So you, so I think that why not, if you think about it the other way, let's think about it the other way. What happens if you say yes?
Then we might have to revise a lot, but if we do it as a cloud, then it's an offshoot. If we do it as offshoot groups here and there, we can car right, left and right. But if we do it as a cloud, it's
so okay. Two things. A, assuming if we're dealing with his question of manuscripts, so you don't know what has validity and what doesn't. Maybe the reason it was buried is because it was invalid. Maybe it was the opinion of a Karaite. Maybe it was the opinion of a rabbi who wasn't accepted. You don't know. And if you'll talk about the Sfarim, the works in Halacha, so there again, it seems there is some difference between the Mishneh Brura and the Chazon Ish, but I think it's very understandable that we're not going to change our tradition now because we find the source from way back when. There is a certain, there's an amount of flexibility that Halacha has, and then there's something that's beyond our ability. We are not on the level to go and change things from 200-300 years ago because we say, now I have more sources. We cannot do that. If we will have a rabbi who will be as big as the Gra, you have someone who's a big, big, big Talmud Chacham that everyone says, he's mastered everything, he's big enough to do that. So the Gra did things that other people hadn't done for a few hundred years. Not everyone listens to him, but we don't challenge his validity in doing that. So in order to do big changes, you have to be a very, very big person. It's not enough for you to be the biggest rabbi of the generation. I mean, you had the biggest rabbis of the generation for quite a few generations before the Gra, and they did not do what the Gra did. The Gra could do that. So when a person is on that level, so then he can say, okay, we will, whatever his level, they will constitute how much he can change. Even the Gra was limited, but fine. He had different limitations than the other rabbis. But that's on that level. To say, because I see this manuscript, so I could change, it's not good enough for both reasons. And as far as the Meiri, so that's or other manuscripts, if the rabbis validated, so then it will be up to the rabbis to decide how much we're willing to entertain that opinion into Halacha, how much we're going to give it weight. You will note that I don't think the Chafetz Chaim takes the Meiri and says, if the Meiri says something that no one else says, so we're going to go that route. That's not what Chafetz Chaim does, but rather where we have two opinions in Halacha. And now we know the Meiri, that the Meiri also had this opinion, so we will take his weight into account. But we do not take a Meiri and say, okay, the Meiri said this, no one else said this, we'll go with the Meiri. That's not where the Chafetz Chaim took him. I'm not big enough to know every place at the Chafetz Chaim, what the Chafetz Chaim rules, but that's the general understanding I have, as far as I know. You with me, Adio? Okay. Now, does that cover the question of the Ksuba, or do you want to go into the question of the Ksuba specifically?